Internal versus external consensus. How about a little bit of both, K-Dog? So today we're gonna get into some big ideas, folks. This one's gonna be a big one. We're gonna talk about some very big potentials with this new clout internal system, right? So we spoke about how you effectively have solved the double spend problem, or resolved, or however you want to think about it, by doing consensus internally and by letting the clout issuer be the one to set this record of transactions, right? So if Alice, Bob, and Charlie all own BTC Joe's clout, and Alice wants to send Bob a transaction, Alice is going to ping BTC Joe with this transaction, which is formatted in a specific way in a specific directory, whether you want to call it the clout directory, the transactions directory, the wallet directory, whatever it is, it's going to be its own directory with its own rules. And so Alice is going to ping BTC Joe with this transaction, and as long as her input is valid, then BTC Joe's going to update his clout ledger, right? And so you really don't have much to worry about in the way of double spending, because Alice, if Alice were to try and spend the same transaction, which is not official until it's in BTC Joe's consensus, right, in his own block under the right directory, then the third party who is getting this double spent transaction is naturally going to be running a node of BTC Joe, and they're going to see that this is an invalid transaction, right? And of course, cloud is created through the process of mining, so you get these issuance transactions, which are acknowledged by the cloud issuer in their own blocks, and so that is basically sort of akin to the Coinbase reward in Bitcoin. That is where they are created, and then from then on, you have this chain, of inputs and outputs, dating from the issuance transaction and forward, and you're referencing these transactions you own. So we spoke about how this system basically works. The only the reality is you're trusting the consensus of the cloud issuer. So they, if they're not going to act honestly and not follow the rules of updating transactions correctly, they are going to be breaking the protocol and destroying the value of their own clout. So there's not much reason to do that, especially given the likely small value of the vast majority of these transactions. But then we spoke about how, say, you don't trust that, that the cloud issuer isn't gonna just break the rules and destroy the value of his own clout, which I'm sure trust is established over time, the longer their record has been built upon, right? It's going to become more trustworthy, and as so will the value of their clout and so on and so forth. But nonetheless, if you don't trust that, we spoke about how you might want to get the best of both worlds, and there might be a way to do external consensus, which is where you take the ownership of clout and you embed it into an external blockchain, such as Litecoin or others perhaps, and by embedding this data of ownership into the transaction, you are shifting, you're almost like shape-shifting into another blockchain, right? So it's by doing this, you're destroying it on the cloud issuer's chain, and it's essentially recreated as an output on an external blockchain, and consensus from there on exists on this external blockchain in the form of this sort of colored coin. And now, sort of like changing your gender, now you can't really go back once you changed it. But then I thought about it more, and maybe you could. It's, that's this is to be determined with further research. Is maybe you could have. It's really all this is sort of like side chains, if you think about it, is your, or maybe it would have to be more designed like that. But in a way, you're, well, yes and no. The point is, you're kind of like pegging into a different chain and pegging back out. But the difference is with side chains, you're starting with Bitcoin and you are pegging into another chain. But in this scenario, you're starting with your own coin, with your own rules, this cloud token, and you're pegging into another chain. But we're going to look into more of how side chains works and if that's really what's going on here, and if it's not, maybe that's a better way. But the point is, the idea is there that you could basically go from internal to external consensus, and possibly, to be determined, go back from external to internal. But this is obviously higher attack surface, so gotta be researched more. But forget about external consensus for a bit. This is where things get real cool. So I briefly mentioned that you are sending this cloud from your own TSN address. Now, your TSN address is a public address in public key, private key cryptography, which happens to be using the PKI of a particular cryptocurrency. Now, as of now, there's no mandatory designation of which one that is, and so you have LTC Joe, his address is Litecoin, my BTC Joe is Bitcoin. And so the point is, your cloud is almost like a smart contract. Well, it is a smart contract, which is a broad term, but it is a smart contract that is created through your address, right? Your TSN address. And you are issuing it to other TSN addresses in your issuance transactions, and then they own these Coinbase rewards, and through their own digital signatures format in the right way, in the right directory, can transact your clout. So what happens is, it's not that hard to implement where you're doing a transaction from one TSN address to another. Well, it has to be from one to another, but it's like, well, there's almost less privacy in a way, because every one of your, it's like if you're doing Bitcoin transactions and reusing the same address in a way, right? Now, of course, it's all pseudonymous, so by default, so there's that. But in Bitcoin, even though it's pseudonymous, you could have this set of addresses, and I spoke about how you could potentially create your own set of addresses on top of your TSN addresses. So what's happened is, I've been thinking about this more, and what would that look like? This is where it gets real interesting. All you need to create a set of addresses is, proof that you own these addresses with your same TSN address. So you're just creating a new set of string of letters and numbers in the form of these addresses. And since this is internal, It has to be some variation. If you think about a digital signature, you are signing some type of message, and you're getting this with your own key, and you're getting this producing the signature. So what I was thinking about is, like, you could just sign address 1, address 2, address 3, and infinite. And every time you do that, you'd be producing a new digital signature that was created with your own TSN address. So that you've essentially created a set of TSN addresses, and that could be whatever format it needs to be, but you're just variating almost like a nonce, almost like whatever it is. And we spoke about this before with regard to dimes and stuff. You can't produce the same message, the same signature twice. If you use the same exact message that you're signing, you're going to produce the same signature. But so if you just do some type of variation, address 1, address 2, however you want to call it, even just a number, whatever it is, each one produces a new signature, which came from your address. So you could create a set of wallets like this. Now, again, I keep saying this where it gets interesting, but this is really where it does. So then I got to thinking, well, all of your TSN references, right, are their own fingerprints. So then I was thinking, like, that's a similar concept to these addresses, even though that's not what they were meant to be. So what if your TSN references, the fingerprints of them, could literally serve as addresses? And so then it's like, well, what if you could pay with cloud to all these unique TSN references of the cloud holder? So that's fucking awesome. This is like tipping, basically, however you want to think about it. Like, we've showed that you could do likes and stuff like that. Maybe we're going to have our own name, and it's like a tipping function, or, a like function that is a tip, right? So it's not, you can just do plain Jane Vanilla likes, but you could be tipping any TSN reference. So that's fucking amazing. And the whole point of the cloud, primarily, at least at first, was for Cloud Trion. So what if you had TSN references which were sort of like encrypted, or at least the content of them was encrypted, and then it's like, well, if you pay, instead of just paying a person for a specific thing, depending on how you want it, it's like you're basically, in technicality, would be tipping that actual TSN reference, which would be in the directory of Cloud Trion, and by doing so, you would receive the decryption key. So that's like huge. That's like mind blowing. I was already contemplating, well, how could you do tipping of TSN references, like, with just regular Bitcoin or something? Like, how could you do it to tip a specific reference? And this beautifully all just comes together. It's like, you basically can tip all content, and those are the addresses. Now, you probably could create separate addresses which weren't content, but, this is beautiful. It's like anything you'd want to get paid in cloud would probably be something specific. So why wouldn't that be some type of TSN reference? So your references are your set of TSN addresses. And what a use case that is for owning someone's cloud. It's like, well, this is a popular account. I want to be able to tip them. And the only way I could tip them is by owning their cloud. That's a huge one. Even without Cloud Trion or advertising or anything else. And so if you think about it, by starting almost backwards and starting with this cloud token, which emanates from the cloud issuer, which could then, using external consensus, be changed into, well, even forgetting about that, you've basically created a smart contract for a token that is independent of any traditional blockchain, Bitcoin, Litecoin, or anything else, but which can use their keys. So obviously there's a lot of overlap in all this and how you want to think about it, whether it's Lightning side chains and or Ethereum smart con like smart I mean smart contracts are literally what we're making, smart contracts, right? Everything is just these contracts. I don't need to get into that, but so you've essentially created these tokens that exist independent of any blockchain. Now, when you incorporate external, it's like, then it's like whoever the TSN address is that owns whoever's clout would, I think, be shape-shifting the clout they own into the blockchain of their own TSN address. So, for instance, LTC Joe owns some BTC clout, BTC Joe clout. So he's going to embed that in the Litecoin blockchain. Now, maybe if there's an Ethereum person who has an Ethereum TSN address, then they're going to embed it into the Ethereum blockchain. Now, I said before, you could do it a different way. You could prove you own addresses in other blockchains which aren't your TSN address, but maybe that's not, it's like you choose your blockchain that you like as your TSN address, and that's the one you use to shapeshift these inputs should you choose into external consensus. And then as a byproduct of this all, you almost are enabling decentralized exchanges of these tokens, right? Because if someone wants to buy the clout of a cloud issuer, they want to pay you traditional blockchain cryptocurrency for units in this internal system. So how are they going to get these units, and how are you going to get the how are you going to get the other traditional cryptocurrency? And so by, well, that's gives an incentive for people to embed these, to do this external shape-shifting and trade their ownership in this internal ledger for ownership in an external ledger. Now, that's probably got to be built out in terms of like a decentralized order book and stuff like that, but you almost wouldn't need like you wouldn't need it to be listed on any centralized exchange, which is fucking cool. So big stuff. I think we're gonna wrap it up soon. I'll just mention I've messed around with I've done some cool stuff with the GitTruth directory, and all this stuff with the dimes and GitTruth is going to be ironed out in directory tips, which clarify the rules of those common directories, which are directories that everyone runs and follows the same set of rules of on top of the base layer TSN protocol. But with GitTruth, it's really interesting, similar to thread channels in dimes. You could really do a similar concept where anyone can update this GitHub repository of the person who created it, and you know, it's like if some schmo tries does a pull request to Bitcoin who doesn't know anything, and the request is like silly, gets ignored. So they can always do it, and it'll be on their own, on their own address, it'll be seen, but you don't have to acknowledge it. So you're reusing the same thread channel concept, and you can even do it. And so they can sort of reply to them and build upon them. And then there's the official merge function, which has to be a TSN reference. So, and of course, similar to thread channels, when you make it into a TSN reference, all the prior states are built into that signature, and like can be seen on that page, I think is how it's going to be. So you're using the same concept and applying it here, and you could even do it with documents or code or packages or anything else. So you could just in your message be putting a hash of the package which has code or anything else in it, or a hash of the document, and you can, that way you could like update collectively, update before with the tips. I was just showing how you could do it yourself, these many edits that were seen, but now you could literally just have collective editing of these documents. So you've really created a decentralized GitHub. And then I added the permissions tab, which is like, well, Satoshi gave up the project at some point, so you want to have the ability to transfer ownership of the commit, of the core maintainer functions, right? The people who can like have the super access, who can change things in the project of the main implementation. So now you have the permissions, and it's like how that even works on old GitHub, I don't know. Do they just give like the password to someone else? But it seems like it's nowhere near as secure as being able to just sign over these permissions to another person, right? Or sign or modify them, and you can add users to a repo, you can add users to a sub repo of a repo. You can delete users, you can, you could do any combination of complex things with digital signatures. And then there's also the fact that you can create mirrors. So you in traditional GitHub or any coding projects, you have these people who are like community people who want to support the project and run their own they re you know they put the same packages up and make them redundant on their own servers, and you have like a list of these mirrors. And so when you merge things, they become TSN references. So it's the same concept as a server feed. The mirror feed could be a type of server feed. Now, most of the other server feed stuff is either you're paying to back up this information, or they're paying you in consignment. But there could also be just community stuff as well, where it's like you want to help, so you run a mirror server feed. If it's like an important project, there'll probably be people willing to do that the same way they did in the old. But who needs GitHub when you can just recreate all this stuff anyway? So, big stuff. That's going to be it. Peace. Addendum. So, you really wouldn't need external consensus to do these market exchanges, whether decentralized or centralized, because after thinking about it more, all you need is the person who is looking to buy it needs a TSN address by your unit of internal consensus, and like any other token, they're gonna send you Bitcoin or whatever it is, and then you're gonna send them your unit of clout to their TSN address, so it could basically work the same. And further, the whole privacy thing is kind of mitigated with this set of addresses that you could create. The lack of the higher lack of privacy and internal consensus. So I'm not sure you really need the external consensus. We're gonna have to see, but it is cool that you could. It's a cool idea to think about, and maybe there could be other reasons for that. But I definitely do find the tipping aspect of internal consensus fascinating. So I think that's gonna stay. So we'll have to see if it's gonna be a combination of both or just one. But big stuff either way. And so how would you could potentially still do like a decentralized exchange because, depending on how you want to do it, but maybe there could be like escrows who you sort of sign a transaction to an encrypted transaction which isn't sent to the cloud issuer, and you give it to this escrow, and so you make a deal with the buyer and you send the encrypted transaction to the escrow, and until the buyer sends you the Bitcoin or whatever it is, the escrow doesn't release this encrypted transaction to the cloud issuer. But this is a whole other bag of tricks, right? And so you got to worry about if the person who's receiving the transaction can't be the same person as the escrow. So all this stuff is kind of being worked out in its own field. There's a lot of overlap with all this stuff. And there's the main way you get cloud is through mining anyway, but that's if you don't want to mine and you need it, you could that's why you would see non-zero values for this limited supply of cloud. Anyway, back soon. Peace.